also, even though it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat.
We just have the Chanukah now. Now, all that we've been talking about, the avoda of breaking the golus, of breaking that terrible, terrible combination of Esav and Yishmael, of trying to live with a consciousness of how good we have it, and how grateful we have to be. And the only way to fight against the tumah of the shor and the chamor was prepared to us by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu, this is what we learned last week, when Yaakov Avinu was Revach Tassimu ben Edu ben Edu, and he made a separation between the different Adorim, he made a separation between the flocks, which Chazal say, in order that there shouldn't be Chlila Kilayim, there shouldn't be Shatnas. Rabbi Nosson is explaining to us, based upon Rabbi Nachman, that the Pnimius, the deeper, deeper meaning of this Isra of Kilayim, which the Torah Davka words in such a way, of shor v'chamor, of working with the ox and with the donkey. The shor, of course, we know, is the koach of Esav, and the chamor is the koach of Yishmael. And Chazal have revealed to us that when these two come together, they bring terrible tovah churban to the whole world and to our lives. And in terms of our avodas Hashem, the meaning of that is when a person begins to think that the tzaros are tkufos. That when things are not going well in life, everything seems to cave in. All of the tzaras join together. Esav and Yishmael, which represent the Umas Ha'olam, which is Golus. Everything comes together and the person looks at his life as one ongoing story of misery, of tzaras. The only way to fight against that is with the avoda of Todah, of Haidah. Only when a person focuses on the toiv of his life, even as we're learning, Batsar Hirchavtali, even the tsar that he's in, to analyze the tsar and to pick out the toiv in the tsar that he's in, then that opens the person's heart and he's once again able to daven and he's able to cry out to Hashem about the tsaris and to beg Hashem to help. But if a person does not do that, then everything closes. I mean, you lose your cheshek for davening, you lose your cheshek for avodas Hashem. You feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has become your enemy. You feel that your life is no good, nothing is good. Which is how most people talk like this, these lashonos. Either for themselves, a kilo am Yisrael is living without any toiv. So that's the avodah that we're learning about. But Tzahir Chavtali, to prevent the hischabros of the klipas of Esav and Yishmael, the kilayim of Esav and Yishmael, we over here can't do anything to stop what's happening in the world with Esav and Yishmael. But we're learning about what we can do in our avoda to prevent this meeting of Esav and Yishmael. And Hashem Baruch gave us through Chazal. He gave us a yontiv Chanukah. He gave us the Yontav of Chanukah, which was still under that Hashpah, Tkufas Teves. The Hashpah of Chanukah is really throughout our lives. And when we're going to read the next little piece from Likutei Halachos, we'll have a whole new understanding of what the Yontav is about, what Chanukah is about. And we'll do a little bit more, Mitzvah Hashem, and then we're going to spend a little time on the Inyan of Tehillim that we learned, the Korach of Tehillim Davke, of David HaMelech, because that's his whole Korach. And then we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem with Moshe Yurim and this Indian of Esav Yishmael and the Muhammad of Esav Yishmael. So we're up to Ois Tess. Chol Zeh B'chinas Chanukah Kanal. Chol Zeh B'chinas Chanukah Kanal. Every word here is mamish like a diamond. The Nes of Chanukah, of course, took place in the days and the end, that time as things were beginning to close, but it took place at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Kishamda Malchus Yavan Rishor Lashkichim Teresecha, that Yavan, the kingdom of Greece, rose up against us to destroy our connection to Torah and to Hashem is Baruch, because without Torah there's no connection to Hashem is Baruch. The Rotsu Levatla Avedis HaBeis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash bothered them. They wanted to mevatel the Beis HaMikdash. This is always a question, like, why does it bother the Goyim that some Jews get together in a building and bring some sacrifices and some incense, you know, say a couple of prayers? Why does that stare them so much? Why does that bother them? What is it that they have at the Beis HaMikdash? And particularly the Yevanim, who considered themselves to be very, very cultured people. They admired the architecture, they admired the ingenuity of the Am Yisrael, and they were people that generally respected religions as well. What did they have Beis HaMikdash? V'Hashem Yisbarach Berachma V'Merubim Omer Lanu Be'etzer V'Seinu V'Osim V'Nisim Ne'roim V'Nifloim Ha'idei Mat Esyo V'Vanev HaKahanim Ad Shenitzcho Yevanev V'Echziru Avedis Beis HaMikdash L'Mekarim B'Deis Nifle V'Neiru And Hashem is Baruch, through the Chashmonaim, revealed the miracle of Chanukah and the oil and the candles. All of the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, we didn't really have a Geula Shleima. We never had, during that time, complete independence. We weren't really ourselves. We had the second Beis HaMikdash, but we were still paying taxes, and we were still Meshubed. We didn't have ourselves. So what's the whole inyan? So Reb Nosson explains, Ki'ika yimei habayi sheini lo hayirach bebchinas ve'rebach tasimu ben edu uven eder. Because the ikur inyan of the Bayis Sheini, the main inyan of the second Beis HaMikdash, was the outcome of the avoda of Yaakov Avinu that we learned about last Matzah Shabbos, the avoda of Revach Tassimu Ben Eder Uven Eder, of making a space between Tzaras, of making a Revach Ben Eder Uven Eder. Shapol Yaakovina Shiye Tomid Revach Varchova Ben Tsar Latsara Ben Golos Lagolos. You see, the second Beis HaMikdash, it's hard for us to understand what the inyan was of the second Beis HaMikdash. Those who learn Chazal and the Svarim know that the second Beis HaMikdash from the beginning was really doomed. It was not something that was going to be the end of Am Yisrael, or the beginning of Mashiach. It wasn't that. And it's hard to understand, what was the purpose of the second Beis HaMikdash? What purpose did it fill? Why did we have the second Beis HaMikdash? The first Beis HaMikdash, we understand. The Chanukah Sabai, Shlom HaMelech, David HaMelech, we understand that. And then it didn't work out. Second Beis HaMikdash, we really weren't ourselves. We didn't have a true Malchus. But Hashem Yisbarach wanted us, through the Nevi'im that were still left, Hashem Yisbarach wanted us to have this place that was not going to last for too long. And then the davening would begin for the third Beis HaMikdash, and we're still davening. So why this whole second Beis HaMikdash? What did it accomplish? What was the tachlis of the second Beis HaMikdash? So the Teretz is, what Reb Nosson's explaining, is a very deep thing. That the whole inyan of the second Beis HaMikdash is Revach Tassimu Ven Eder Ven Eder. That there should be a break. There should be a pause between the Tzaras. The Tzaras were flowing from the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Am Yisrael couldn't feel anymore Hashem's love. Everything had become dark. We no longer had prophecy. There was no longer any nevuah. It was a terrible. We're so used to not having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we become, unfortunately, very insensitive to that. We can't understand how the Jews felt by the Churban Bayis Rishon when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because until that time, it was Yetzias Mitzrayim, on and on and on, and Yeshua and the Shaiftim. Of course, there were difficulties, but the presence of Hashem was so clear and so powerful. There were Nevi'im, there was Urim V'Tumim, there was a Sanhedrin. We knew who we were. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, we know, we've spoken about this in the past, and we see from Sefer Yechezkel that there were very great Jews that came to Yechezkel HaNavi, and they believed that the project, Hashem's project with Am Yisrael, had concluded, and that we were no longer obligated to keep mitzvahs. That's how Jews felt. And those were not foolish people. The Navi records, these were great people. They came to Yechezkel, and they believed, they thought that that's it. There was a get. The whole Sefer Hosheya is on that Nakuda. But in Yechezkel, they felt that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem is telling us that he's done, that the whole Inyan is finished. And that's not going to be again. And then you know that there was a tremendous amount of Avodah Zarah then, and Jews were scattered, and it was terrible. The Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael was very, very small and weak and so on. And then there was a Hisoyrus for the second Beis HaMikdash. The whole Inyan of Ezra Nechemiah. There was a Hisoyrus for the second Beis HaMikdash. The Tachlis was not the second Beis HaMikdash, because we already know that it was not meant to be a permanent fixture in Klal Yisrael. It was not meant to be. It was, as I said before, it was doomed from the beginning. It was a temporary, beautiful, beautiful building, and it was a mechaya to get back to the Avoda, but it wasn't going to last. So what was its purpose? It was the materialization of all that Yaakov Avinu was crying about and davening for. The Jews should be able to, in Golus, in the darkness, that Hashem's Baruch should give us signs that he hasn't abandoned us, that he hasn't left us. There should be a revach, there should be a feeling of his presence in between the tzaras. That shouldn't be tkufais. If not for the Yontif of Hanukkah, you and I would not be able to be Jews. It seems strange. It's a little candle, a ma'asur, some latkes. If it wouldn't be for Hanukkah, it would have been done. Chanukah is the revach tasimu ben edu ben edu. Shapol Yaakov inu shiyat tomid revach v'archav ben tzar l'tzar ben golus l'golus kadei shiyat koach l'hischazeg v'lizbol merirus ha-golus kanal. Because there's one thing that a person can't take. People are pretty resilient. Jews more than any other people are very, very strong and resilient. As long as we know that the Baruch Shalom hasn't abandoned us, as long as we know that he hasn't left us and that we're still in the Inyan, in the sugya, we could take it. And we've taken a lot. The klipa shamachus Yavan harisha, the klipa of Yavan, the evil klipa of Yavan saw, rosa vehevina zois, shabayis hazeh lo yiskayim v'char bevadai. The Yavanim also understood that this second Beis HaMikdash was not the ultimate plan of the Jewish people, and that they also knew that it was missing some of the elements, some important elements from the first Beis HaMikdash. The Greeks were very educated, particularly in Jewish matters. They knew that. This is what the Sitra Achra is afraid of. The Sitra Achra is afraid that a Jew should feel that he has anything to live for, that a Jew should feel that there's anything to be grateful for. All the Sitra Achra wants is that a Jew and that Am Yisrael should feel abandoned and lost, that everything is bad. Rak ra kol ayon, amalek. That's what the Sitra Achra wants. So the Yevanim understood, whether they understood that cognitively or subconsciously, that's not important. They understood, that klipa of Yevan understood, that the worst thing that could happen, and what we must fight against, is any interruption to the tzaras. This second Beis HaMikdash is a major interruption to of the program of Chayshech, of darkness, that was set into motion as a result of the first Churban. Because the second Beis HaMikdash was a reminder to Am Yisrael that Hashem Yisbarach hasn't left us, and that we're still in the sugya of Kodesh Baruch Hu Shchinte. That we're still in the sugya of Am Yisrael and Hashem. That we're still in that sugya. Therefore, the Yevanim understood that the Beis HaMikdash was serving the purpose of being a harchava, that space, that spacing, that relief, that encouragement, that reminder between the tzaras, that would give us the ability to give thanks to Hashem, to express our hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Yevanim wanted to eliminate, to stop the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Rotzel Esgarba Yisrael, Lahachriv Tekev Avodah Beis HaMikdash, V'lichbosh Yisrael Tachas Yodam, Chas Hashom. They wanted to stop the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They couldn't bear the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The equivalent of that nowadays is how the world can't bear the Jews are in Yerushalayim. That's the closest thing we can get to our way of understanding it. It's very hard to explain why the United States of America still can't deal with Yerushalayim. It's very hard to understand. It's politically, it doesn't make sense. All of the years and all of the presidents, and every single presidential candidate, in order to get Jewish votes, always promises that that's the first thing he's going to do. And I'm not talking about the present president, who's not worth wasting our breath on. I'm talking about the earlier presidents, some of whom were people that of substance. Mostly not, but some were. And nothing ever came of that. What is it that they have the whole milchama over recognizing Yerushalayim as the capital of the Jewish people?
Oil.
It's mislabish in many. There are many things it's mislabish in. Of course it's mislabish in clothing, but we're talking about the pnimius advar. That the world cannot allow Am Yisrael to settle into Yerushalayim. With all of the recognition of the state and everything that happened in 1948, and with the Hakaras HaTov that we have for any American support that there's been over the years, of course. Yerushalayim stares the goyim. That possibility of Ahoy Baniach Hashem Kalchomikolay Vechem Yisaviv, that possibility of Am Yisrael returning to Yerushalayim and having the Beis HaMikdash, there's a machloikis about the status of the Harabayas. What's the machloikis about the Harabayas? What's the machloikis about the Harabayas? That the whole world is in this inyan of the Harabayas. What is the half of the Harabayas that until Jews got the little place? It was the first speech that the President of the United States made outside of America when he was in Cairo, which is a bush and a cherpa. The first speech that he made, he said, well, you know, the world felt bad for the Jews, so they gave him some piece of property. The Jews were pitied by the world, so that's, after all that we went through, we deserved to have a place. And all of that pity that the world has for us, Yerushalayim, the other Rachmanis doesn't reach to the Harabayis, Yerushalayim. The Vatican has with the Harabayis, you know what the Vatican has with the Yerushalayim. But Edom and what Esav and Yishmael have with the Harabayis. You have to wonder, like, why is it Kedai for them? What they have with the Harabayis, Esav and Yishmael, Harabayis. It's the same thing as Yavin. See, every time you and I visit, or every time you and I breathe in the air of Yerushalayim, Every time we even look at a picture of Yerushalayim, it's a bechina of Erevach Tassimu ben Edo ben Eda. It's Hashem is Baruch winking at us in Golis and saying, the Inyan is still alive. The promise is a promise. The unbelievable mahapecha that was caused by the return in 1967, when it was only a relatively short break historically, but the return to Yerushalayim, Jews who were bechlal, no shaychus to Yiddishkeit, never once would think about going to visit, to daven by the curse, never would visit, they would never daven in a shul, they don't anything. The feeling of Erevach Tassimu ven Eidu, that Hashem Zbach actually made a cameo appearance in Golas, came into Golas and said, Kidlach, Chbindu, it's still me and you. It's still the two of us. We're in this together. That's what it is. She atomed Revach Vachor ben Sarlatzor ben Golas Agolas Kadesh Yekorch Leschazik Vilizbol Mamiris Agolas Canal. The purpose of the second base of Mikdash is to be the Revach that we could refer back to, that point of reference, to be able to look at and to remember that in Golas there are Revachim, there are openings, there are spaces, there are signs of Hashem's love. The Yavanim knew that the only way that the Jewish people would be able to go on is there would be something that would interrupt the emptiness, to interrupt the darkness and the feeling of abandonment. And that was the point of the second Beis HaMikdash. Al Kain Rotzel is Gaba Yisrael Lahachiv Tekev Arjit Beis HaMikdash Lichbo Yisrael Tachazon Chasham Kdei Shia HaGolus Vatzoros Tchufa Yisum Chubaros Yachad, to make a Kilayim, that the Goliyoy should be continuous, all Tzoros, one connected to the next, everything Golus Tzoros Kdei Shla Yuchli Yisrael 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 Al Kain Nikos Malchus Yavon Lashayn Tit Hayavain. Therefore the word Yavan comes, says in Tillim, and Dor HaMelech asks to be saved. Tit HaYavain means the filth, the plaster means very thick dirt and filth. Bechinas B'Yavain Metzula. The Loshna B'Yavain Metzula means when somebody is trapped in the depths and there's no way to get out, like quicksand. Ve'ein, it says in Pasuk, Ve'ein Metzula Ve'ein Ma'amad. Those who say Tikkun Klali know that that's one of the psukim from Tikkun Klali, because that's the inyan of Shavivim, and that's how a person feels. By this inyan of Kedusha, of Pagam HaBris, the Yetzirah, more than any other Avera, gives a Jew that feeling that his whole life is one big mikshal of Pagam HaBris, that his whole life, ki'ilu, this person's Torah is nothing and his davening is nothing. And even though he went for days and sometimes weeks and sometimes months without being poigim in the bris, but the inyan of b'yevein mitzula v'ein ma'amad, I'm in the dirt, v'ein ma'amad means I can't get out. I'm stuck, I can't get out. Even though the person was, you ask him, but your whole life, I mean, you have days of tremendous learning and davening, and it's not always like that. But the person sees himself as being b'yevein ha'mitzula v'ein ma'amad. That's why it's part of the Tikkun Klali, the Pasuk. Bechinas b'vein mitzula v'vein mamad shehu bechinas tzara arucha skufa. To give the feeling that the tzara, it's one long tzara, my whole life it's one long tzara, uskufa, continuous. K'may golas hazeh ha'orach v'amar ma'oid, as we feel now, it's been a very long time since Hanukkah. It's a very, very long golas to it. Shall Zet Sog Dovin HaMelech al Vashom Tavati B'Yevein Metzula Vein Mamad. And that's what Dovin HaMelech was crying for us. He was saying, I'm drowning B'Yevein Metzula in this filth, in this quicksand. Vein Mamad, and I have no way to stand. I have no way to get myself out. L'Gordel Arichas Merivus HaGolus, because of how long Golus is and how bitter it is. A person feels that there's no way out. Umalchus Yavan. Now that's the word Yavan. Yavan is Tavati B'Yevein Metzula. Yevein is Yavan. The Jews shouldn't have that opening of hope. Pesach Tikva. There shouldn't be an opening of hope. There shouldn't be a thought. There shouldn't be a thought of a possibility that Golus is not something which goes on and on and on. Shiyaschel Golus as Chasar Shalom Kadesh LaYuchli Yisrael Yiskai. Ubeemes. Rabbi Nosson says that clearly it's for sure that if there would have been so a relatively short time after the building of the Beis Hamikdash, because the whole Beis Hamikdash wasn't a long time, if there would have been the destruction of the Avoda, if it would have ended like the Greeks wanted, then we would have felt like we can't go on. Ein Mamed. Tavati Bivein Metzula. We would have drowned in that filth of Greece. Ein Mamed. We have lost all hope. We have lost all hope to return, to come back. The whole modern day, what was called back then, the whole modern day Baal Tshuva movement began in 1967. By the Milcham. When did it begin? The Baal Tshuva yeshivas and Eretz Yisrael and the whole... I mean, there were things before, but it was little pieces here and there. But in Eretz Yisrael, and then young people coming from the States and going to Eretz Yisrael, it was all after 1967, because 1967 was, in our times, those who remember it, 1967 was that feeling also of a revach tasim of an eder of an eder. Revach tasim of an eder of a... Harabayis b'yadein. Was that feeling of revach tasim of an eder of an eder? Yeah, there's still the mosque and everything, but that the coming back to Yerushalayim, is that feeling of a revach tasim of an eder of an eder to be felt. And you see, Jews that they wanted them to come back to Hashem Zbach, they didn't know what to do with themselves. And as what we usually do is that we have great opportunities, we usually botch them up pretty badly. When there are openings, when there's Nesotzen. There was a lot of good that came from that, but it could have been much, much more. When we look back, what could have been and wasn't. The things that could have been and don't become, it's because of infighting, machloikis and politics. It's always like that. There was such an Esrotzen then. It's an unbelievable Esrotzen. I even remember when they were firing years later the Scuds. What year was that?
91
when they were firing. So remember when Chaim Yavin, it's not spelled like Yavin. Chaim Yavin was a very famous Israeli broadcaster. When I was a kid and we lived in Israel, he was like the superstar broadcaster, like the Walter Cronkite of Israel. And Chaim Yavin was a known like anti-dati guy. And the whole world was watching, and he starts to scream out on the television, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim Yavin, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Am Yisrael felt that. Verevach tasim uven eder uven eder. There's a hergish. We don't take advantage to take the revach and to rip it open wider. Hashem is waiting for us to rip it open. He makes the opening. And he says, no. And then we start to argue and fight. But he wants us to rip open the revach and to make it wide. Harchav pichav amaleya. Ayrech yom has b'yeu v'arei b'yishuasi. Hashem's Baruch wants us to open it up. But we become small, and then they start to argue, and this rabbi, and that yeshiva, and this place, and that place. And then it starts to shrink and starts to close again. That's how it is.
Yeah, but Hashem promised me if we give him an opening of a needle, he's going to make a Pesach.
We don't know how big the opening of a needle is. It's not like our needles, I guess. And if that would have happened, how yimaschil agolus was vadei hakoshel eskayim ki achshev ikka kiim shalona bariches agolus as eh? Because the ikka kiim that we now are able to exist all of these years of golus. It's only because of the archavis that Hashem has made for us as a people. We'll talk about Chanukah in a second. And the archavis that each one of us finds in life, that we look for and try to find in our lives. Hashem had rachmanis on us, on Am Yisrael. And he turned around and he stopped the Yavana from being able to carry this out. And Hashem Yisbarach turned it all into a yontif. Kilodai, it's in the other column there. Kilodai shenoflu ha-Yavonim ha-Pola Gedoyla. Not only did the Yavonim lose very, very badly, u'beis ha-Shemanoi kovshu ha-Malucha, but beis ha-Shemanoi, the Hashemanoi were actually able to, for the first time, we were able to have some sense of independence, some malchus of the Hashemanoi. Albeit it was supposed to be itself a temporary malchus, the Hashemanoi were not supposed to take it, because that's not theirs. The malchus belongs to Yehuda, not to the Hashemanoi. But with Cholzos, there was still a revach, a malchus that Am Yisrael was able to stand up tall and to feel that harvacha. When niskam Yisrael gedolosim, and we're able to be miskayim, and not only that, ba'avodas beis hamikdash kama shanim. And we were able to hold on to the Beis HaMikdash for a little bit more than 100 years. We were able to hold on to the Beis HaMikdash for longer. Av gam also lonu neiz gadol v'noira kazer. We also had this amazing miracle. The neiros ha-menoira, or the neiros of the menorah. Shei dezer kol v'shmonis mechanik eil. We also lonu yontiv chadash, and they made a new yontiv. V'em shichu or v'tiko noira kazer ba'olam. And they were able to draw down into the world this tremendous tikkun, this or of Chanukah. Shal yidei yimei Chanukah HaKadoshim, that through these days, the holy days of Chanukah, yiyeh lanu koach tamid lahamshich aleinu haderach HaKadosh hazeh sol toide vaydar. Because of Chanukah, any time any Jew, throughout the long years of Golus that we've been in, any time that any Jew feels that he's drowning b'yavein mitzulah, and he's surrounded by absolute darkness in his or her life, because of Chanukah, he's able to see a candle. He's able to see or. He's able to find light in his life. If not for Chanukah, that wouldn't be. It's only because of Chanukah. Because of Chanukah, we have the ability, this holy path that Rabbi Nachman speaks about in the Torah, and Rabbi Nosson is teaching us more about, the path of Toda Vahida, of giving thanks and being able to recognize the candles in our lives, the light that we have in life. Not to feel the Ein Ramad, that there's no hope, I can't get up, I can't. Shabachol HaTzaros, Shonu Soivlim B'Golos HaOruch HaZeh, that through all of the Tzaros that were suffering in this long Golos, B'Chlal as a people, or B'Frat, and as individuals, Nuchol LaHachyos Es Atzmeinu, we have the ability, because of Chanukah, that Beis HaMikdash that was in between, that avoda, that light of the Beis HaMikdash that was in between the tzaros, that was the revach tasimu v'n'edu, and in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Yavanim sought to destroy that little bit of hope that we had, that light of the Beis HaMikdash, the miracle of Chanukah, the yontav of Chanukah, nucha lahach yoses atzmeinu, we're able to revive ourselves, Lahachyos es atzmeinu, aydei shenizker nefloisav adhena. It helps us to think and to remember the neflos that we had in the past, till this time, the wonders that we've had. V'noida, that we should be able to give thanks, u'nishabeach oso tamid, and to praise Him always. V'bchinas moidal ha'ova, as we learned earlier, to thank Hashem for all that we've had in the past, and then I have a cheshek to beg that it should be better in the future. To thank, only when you feel the gratitude for the past, you have a cheshek to look for something better in the future. Shezo b'chinas Chanukah kanal. which is the Indian of Chanukah canal. Shezois habechina on a zeichem aydei Chanukah, aydei yimei Chanukah, shenikbu oz aydei gorl haneish on eos haminaret, it was zeichem for this yontif of Chanukah. That's pretty good.
Got another bag right here. Mm-hmm. Now we know which one it is.
Balkein nikur Chanukah loshen chinuch. This is a whole Torah. Therefore, Chanukah, the word Chanukah comes from the word chinuch. Now, of course, chinuch, because we were mechanuch, the mizbeach. To be mechanuch in English, I guess you would say to inaugurate or to rededicate. I guess that's the word. But chinuch is much, much deeper than fixing up a mizbeach and putting everything, you know, back into place in the Beis HaMikdash. It's much bigger than that. That's why we call educating a child and an adult, we call it chinuch. And those who even started Chavis HaTalmidim know what the Rebbe says about the word chinuch, what that means, chinuch, what it means to be mechanuch. So it's called Chanukah. Chanukah is a lashon of chinuch. Bechinas Chanukah sa Beis HaMikdash. Because not only were the Yevanim unsuccessful in destroying the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to take away from us that candle, that hope. Not only were they unsuccessful, they couldn't destroy it. We took out of that attempt that was made by the Yevanim to sink us into the quicksand of Bivain Metzula. We took out a tikkun of Chanukah that sustains us until Mashiach comes, the light of Chanukah. The Hainush on a Zeichen Besoich, Toikef Agolus Hazeh, Lahaschel Gam Ato, Lachanach Besamekvish. Because the word Chinuch really means to begin. That's what it really means, to begin. To start, to begin. The koach that a person has to begin, especially after failing so many times, especially after things have not worked out. The loshon of chinuch, lechanech, we bezeichet to be mechanech the Beis HaMikdash. Ki bezeh shanu oisim b'mei ha-garlos Chanukah, that we have this yontif in garlos that's called Chanukah. Shem yimei ha-yida, that are days that are designated and defined as Yimei Haida. Kidei lahoydeis ulahal l'shimcha agorl. Kidei lahoydeis. The whole yontif of Chanukah is kidei lahoydeis, to give us the ability to feel gratitude. Kidei lahoydeis. Dahein, sh'anu moedim u'mishabchim o'isi yizbarach, that we thank Hashem. Al Gaidl Hanisim, Sha'osi Imanu Adhena, for all of the great miracles that He's done for us until now. Shahailanu Kayach Leskayim Adhena, that we've been able to exist until now. Vanu Betuchim Aideze, and we're certain and confident. Kasha Adhena Azerun Rachamav, that just as Hashem took care of us until now. Kain Yishma Tvilasainu Vitzakosainu Tomid, so too will He hear our Tvilas and our crying. Until we'll have the final geula. All of those nations that sought to destroy us, they're not here anymore. They don't exist anymore. Everybody understands that. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that that's a nace that's much bigger than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our existence is the biggest miracle in history. Just our existence is the biggest nace this place, the biggest nace in history. The Yivne Beis HaMikdash, I know that it's the reassurance that we're going to have the third Beis HaMikdash, that there's going to be a Geula. Because of this hope that we have, because of this Hisoyrus that we have, that itself, we're able to draw more and more into our lives the Or of the Beis HaMikdash. Because how are we building the Beis HaMikdash? The way that we're building the Beis HaMikdash is even though you and I feel that oftentimes that when you're davening that the tefillos are not going anywhere. But the Svarim tell us, the Zarakaitis, the Rabshitz, and all the tzaddikim say, the Indian of that Yibana Beis HaMikdash Meher B'Yameinu, that with our days now in Garlis, we're building the Beis HaMikdash without tefillos in Garlis. With our expression of Emuna and Haidah, we're building the Beis HaMikdash. Kiyadua. You have to the parentheses. V'chol tzaako seinu s'filo seinu shana mischazkim adayin litzoykul esparla shemesbach, and all of the screaming and crying and davening, that we still, the Jews still have a cheshek to cry out. Hurak ayidei b'chines Chanukah. It's only because Chanukah, because we had that revach ben edu ven edu. It's because the koch of that klipa of Esav and Yishma was broken. Hurak ayidei b'chines Chanukah. Ayidei b'chines toida kanal. Ayidei b'chines toida. This avoda of toida kanal. The third base of Mekdash is Oz Egmor, Vishim Mizmor, Chanukah Zemizbeach, Visham Toda Nizabeach, Oz Egmor. The completion of the song, the ultimate gratitude, we'll be able to express when the third base of Mekdash is built. Oz Egmor, Vishim Mizmor, Chanukah Zemizbeach. But it's interesting. We don't have any other yontiv where we chazer over all the galuyos, right? And even if you ask a Jew that's uneducated, I don't know about now, it's much harder than it used to be, but certainly a few years ago, any Jew heard of Moses Tzur Yeshua Asi, and he'll start to sing it for you. He might not know all of the stanzas, but he knows that there's such a thing as Moses Tzur Yeshua Asi. And so we don't have such a thing by Chanukah, by Sukkot. We don't have by Sukkot or by Pesach. We say V'hi Sh'amda, but to have a whole thing to chazer over all the goliaths, all the exiles that we've been through. Why is it that right when you light Chanukah candles, right after you light Chanukah candles, then you say Moses to Yishuasi, and what's the first one after that? Has a stop. Rose of Anavshi. Rose of Anavshi. And so on. Why do we, and look at the words of Moses, or why do you have such a thing right after you just light the Chanukah candle? What's up with goliaths? We're talking about Golus. We don't have that by any other time of the any other Yom Tov. Even by Purim, we don't have such a thing. But all of a sudden, we're chasing over our history. But that's what we're learning, because a person is able to look at the Golus that he's in, and he feels Tavati Bivei Metzula Vein Mamad. I'm sinking, I'm drowning in the filth, and I can't get out. And you light the Chanukah candles, and you look at the candle, and then you say, Ro'o Sava Nafshi. Yivanim Nikbetsu Alai. Chasev Zorekat Shacha, V'karev Keitza Yeshua. Our whole amuna of Chasev Zorekat Shacha, V'karev Keitza Yeshua. And we say, and then we thank Hashem for all the gullies that he took us out of, and then we ask him at the end, Chasev Zorekat Shacha, V'karev Keitza Yeshua, Ki Orchalonu HaYeshua. It's so long. It seems that there is no end to the difficulties that we're going through. The Chei Admai Mitzel Tzadim. Hakem Lona Roya Shiva to bring back the Ushpizim. Hakem Lona Roya Shiva to bring back into our lives the Or of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have such a thing. And that Bechlal, that the Inyan of the Chanukah candles that comes the Beis HaMikdash to a person's home, that the avodah beis hamikdash, that you light the menorah in your house, you don't have such an avodah by any other thing. To such an aura that a person is able to have Chanukah to light in his house, wherever he lives, in some place in Golas, Tavati b'vein metzul, and Hashem Shabbos says to him, you light the menorah, lamata masar tfachim, all the way down on the ground, because that's where you are. You feel that you're mamash all the way down on the ground. And Yaakovin was poil, v'nei Hashem nitzav, v'zareis yisovan, Hashem needs a love. Yaakovinu vayishkav mokam, where the Yaakovinu was lying on his back, and what happened to him? Hashem showed him a vision, and what did he see in the vision? He saw the ladder. What did he see on the ladder? The four exiles, right? Coming features. soon playing in your... And then he saw the Malach of Edom going up, remember? The other ones came up, they fell. He says, Edom was going up. He was not coming down. Ki archalon ha Yeshua. That's what it seems like. And after that, he was poiled in, you know, v'ravach tassim of v'neda v'neda. It was everything that happened there by Ankevino was chanagidik. Remember the oil on the Metzeva, and everything there was chanagidik. That's when he went back and he found the jar of the oil, which we have from the Kadmonim, a Kabbalah, that it was the Pach Shemen of chanagidik. What's the Pach Shemen doing there by Yankiv and Esav? And that's where he finds the jar of oil. And all the gematries and all the Ramazim and everything that has Davka over there, but chanagidik was prepared that Yankiv was lighting chanagidik candles over there. And Yankov standing in the middle of nowhere singing Moses to Yeshuasi before all of this happened. But that's what we have. That's what has kept us going. Nimsa, the last line, Shagam Achshav, Onu Mechanchem Es Beis HaMikdash B'Chanukah. Means that Nimsa, that even now, the ability that a Jew has to begin again after falling, to begin again, despite the fact that he has felt Tavati Bivain Mitzula, that I have drowned, I'm just finished, that he's able to be Mechanech himself. He was able to be Mechanech himself. To start again, to begin again. You know, if a person is a Rebbe in Yeshiva, if you're a teacher in school, even if it's not Hebrew, even if you're teaching Lima de Chol, even if you're teaching secular things. You know what a teacher could do for a student when a teacher says a kind word, he says something good? Because every child in the school feels that he's mamish tavati bivein mitzula. Maybe there are a few that don't feel that way. You know, the top couple of students or something. But the hamayin am in the schools, they feel tavati bivein mitzula, that they're drowning. And when there's a teacher that's kind, that's good. There was a girl that went to the school, I mentioned this recently, but I remembered, because there was one of the rebbeim from where I taught, he was by us for Shabbos a few weeks ago, and we had the Shabbaton. He was already getting older, Baruch Hashem. He's a tzaddik of a person. So there was a girl that, her life was a terrible mess. I wouldn't even talk about Barabbam, what she went through with her father, what was going on in that house, and what kind of sorrows this girl had. It's hard to believe that Jews could do such things, what this girl went through. And she wanted Mamish to die. And she said that the reason that she didn't kill herself is because when it was her birthday, this rabbi opened up his briefcase and took out a birthday cake in class and got up and sang happy birthday to her. He looked up when her birthday was because he saw how tzibrochen she was looking. That's before they had in the office profiles of each student with the whole biography. There was no biography. He saw that she's a tzibrochen, what she was living through, a Gehenna. She says, from that birthday cake, I was... From that birthday cake. Well, you remember the story that I told you a long time ago? I'm sure you still remember, because it's a Gevaldig Emais. I heard this from Eid. Rabbi Yomim Lifton, Zechal Levracha. And my wife remembers it. Rabbi Lifton is an old Litvish Eid. He was so old that when we were sitting in Chanukah, and he was telling, he says, because we were learning together, we had a kailal from Mechanchim in Queens. In the afternoon, we were learning in a kailal, we had a Seder there, and there were some old Jews from the neighborhood that would come to learn also. And this Rabbi Lifton would sometimes, it was Chanukah, so he was telling us some stories, and he started to tell a story. He says he would tell stories of Reb Chaim, and we used to joke and say, Reb Chaim Volozhiner? That's how old he was. Then he would stop and say, no, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. But it wasn't like it was so crazy. You know, he was in his 90s. He was, you know, it was. I remember he told us when he came in to Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Rabbi Aaron Cutler was playing. He was lying on the couch and he was throwing with Shneur Cutler, playing with him. And he said that he started to run out of the house. And Rabbi Aaron said to him, "What's the matter? Father's not allowed to play with the." It's not yeshivish or something. The Baron said, "I'm not allowed to play with him. You have to run away." He told us these mice. So there's a mice that Rabbi Lifton told us one year at Hanukkah, and this was a Jew that once was such service. He was in Siberia. He went through a lot of service. His wife died. Tzaris. So he told us, I'm just reminding you, this is a story that I told when the shul started. But he told us about how he was, his father wanted him to go learn in Grodno by Rabbi Shimon. And he said, Rabbi Lifton said that he didn't want to go. But in those years, you just did what you were told, you know. He didn't want to go to Grodno. It was very far away. He lived in some shtetl, I don't remember where, and there was to go to Grodno, and there Reb Shimon just came. Reb Shimon was the famous, biggest Rosh Hashiva in the world then, Reb Shimon Shkop. And he didn't want to go. Now, the way that it worked back then is that you had to say a piece of Torah, a piece of Gemara, and then you would come, you prepared it with the Rashi, Taisus, and the Rishonim, and you would come to the Rosh Hashiva, and that was your test. You would be fahared on that piece of Gemara that you prepared, whatever you wanted, but you had to prepare a piece of Gemara, and the Rashi would fahar you, he would test you on that piece of Gemara that you prepared. So Rabbi Lifton told us that he wasn't a sharp guy. He said, I wasn't like a Talmud Chacham. My father wanted me to go there. So my father was so poor, he saved up, and he gave his last penny to pay for some Talmud Chacham from the shtetl to teach me a piece of Torah. And for months and months and months, we were going over this piece of Gemara with some Rishonim that I was going to say over to Reb Shimon. And he said that we were poor, so my father took me to a wagon, and he was only able to pay enough to get to the next town. And he said that over there you'll find other Jews and keep on going to Grodno. That's what he said this. Just keep on going to Grodno. Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to do? Keep on, you'll find Jews and keep on going to Grodno. That's what he told him. So this is already, he said, for like 2-3 weeks, he was schlepping. And the whole time he's chazing over this one piece of Torah that he knew, you know, klar. He's chazing this over. And the dreaded day came, and he finally gets to Grodno. And he asked somebody, where does Reb Shimon live? He saw, there's Reb Shimon's house. And he said he was so scared. He's walking over to Reb Shimon. And he said that he was davening that the Rebbetzin maybe would answer the door, just have Rachmanis. He knocks on the door, and Reb Shimon answers the door. And Reb Shimon asks him, who are you? He says, it's a Ches Binyamin Lifton. He says, from the town. Yeah, Binyamin, I remember, yeah, you were supposed to come for Faher, for the yeshiva. So he says, yeah. And he says, come in. And he says to Reb Shimon changed the rules of the game. Because the rule of the game is that the boy is supposed to start saying over his Torah. And then the Rashiva asks you a few kashas. So maybe there's a chance he'll be able to answer because he's learning this thing for 6 months, 8 months. He was learning this, so maybe he could answer. Mm-hmm. So he comes and he's getting ready to say over the Gemara. Reb Shimon pulled a fast one on him. Reb Shimon says to him, Ich hab zwei kashas für dir. I have two kashas for you. So he said he just wanted to cry and say, oh, that's not how this goes. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I just have my one piece of Gemara. I don't know two kashas or one kasha. And he said he just wanted to cry and to run away. And Reb Shimon said to him, there's the kashas. The first kashas, when was the last time you slept in a warm bed? Mm-hmm. And the tzveta kashas, when's the last time you had a warm meal? And Reb Shimon's Rebbetzin wasn't there. She was away someplace. There was a simcha. And Reb Shimon put on an apron and made him supper and said, we'll talk and learning next week sometime. And he slept there. And he said to us, to the guys, he said, if you want to know why am I still a Jew, why I still put on tefillin, after what I went through, it's for the two kashas, Reb Shimon's tzvei kashas. That's why I'm a Jew. He says, I don't remember the shiurim from Reb Shimon. I don't remember the Torah. It's a long time ago and it got clapped. But the two kashas from Reb Shimon, for these two kashas, bleibt a yid. I'm a yid. That's called chinuch. Reb Shimon was a big mechanech. Besides, he was a big tzaddik. He was a big mechanech. The chinuch was a chinuch to take a boy that wanted to die, that felt that he was away from his parents, from his brothers and sisters, had nothing to live for, didn't want to be in this place. He was schlepping around in the mud for a couple of weeks in the cold. And and is frightened, and the Rashiva asks him such kashas. He said he mamish took him to put him into bed and covered him up. He covered him with a blanket. So he did. That's called chinuch. That's the chinuch of Beis HaMikdash. Because when a person feels tavati be vein mitzula vein mamad, and then the Hashem's word is megala to him, veravach tassim b'vein eda, a person smiles at me, a tzaddik says, ask me such questions. And then it gives him a chias to be able to start again. That's called chinuch. Anything else that you read about that's called chinuch, that's all not chinuch. That's outgrowth of something, but it has something to do with chinuch. But this is chinuch. That's called chinuch. That's what's called chinuch. And it's not so hard to be mechanuch like that. It's not so hard. It's not so hard. The koach to do that comes from Chanukah. That's what Rav Nosson is saying. Kol nitzim zosim on adhena shohil on akar l'skayim. Rav mi yisrael dena, and there's it. Anu amshichim mechnes bini beza mikdash, yika gulu bini beza mikdash, yalai deze. Amai, echter de prantiyev. Chol tzak azenet vila sen, shem eschaskim, l'tzoik, l'spala, shem esbocha, rak, yidei bichines Chanukah. That's what Rav Nosson is saying. That I'm a yid is because of Chanukah. That's what he was saying. If you wonder why I'm a Jew, it's because of Chanukah, even though he didn't mention Chanukah. But that's what he was saying. Aydesh anu moedim al ha'over, kanal, v'nimtza, shagam achshor mechanukah mis beis ha'mikdash, b'chanukah, ki ikka b'ni beis ha'mikdash, m'hebi yameinu ya aydeh zesh, n'zachinu b'chines toida v'haydo, kamata b'toyka v'golos, b'chines Chanukah, m'cheinu b'chol odom b'chol zman, sh'ikra achinuch la'avodis ha'bor yizbaruch, aydeh b'chines zois, b'chines toida v'haydo. Because when he went to sleep that night, he had something to be grateful for. Even though he was in a bad spot, being away from home, but sahir chavtali. But wow, you sent me in this bad situation. You sent me in this bad situation, Reb Shimon, kashas, like in this bad spot I'm in. She b'chinas Chanukah. That's always called Chanukah. That's chinuch. K'lefi masha oyver al kol echad ve'echad. K'fi masha yodeya benafshay, because each Jew knows. Ribui ha'yisurim v'atzaros, all the yisurim and the tzaros, and if thankfully it's not yisurim and tzaros that he has, God forbid, from sickness or from problems with panos or problems with the children or whatever it is, he has mitayvus yetzar for sure. Umber panosa v'chulu v'chulu, not just one v'chulu. You see there, v'nosa plus two v'chulus, v'chulu v'chulu, and who knew better than Rav Nosson? Because every one of the tzaros Rav Nosson himself had. A person would feel, I can't go on living. You're telling me until there's a Gula Shleima? I don't know what it's going to be, a Gula Shleima. The third base of Mikdash of my life, I don't know what it's going to be. That's the Gula Shleima. That I should be a big Elohid, and I should be worthy to stand before Hashem, perfect and nice. And when's that going to be? But along the way, like Rabbi Nachman says, Yes Simon Baderach, along the way. Valken Be'emes Kama V'Kama Eschilu V'Naflu. Therefore, we see many Jews that they did try V'Naflu and they fell. V'Yesh Shabichem Avadosim Yomim V'Shanim. And there were Jews that they were Oved Hashem for days, even for years. V'Lachkach Lo Yochlu Lizbal Mirivus Hakveda Shel Abaldava. They couldn't go on carrying the weightiness, the heaviness of the Yetzirah. V'Naflu Kolach Kamei Shanaflu Achmon Lestam. They fell. But someone who really, really wants tevachmonis on his life. The way to be miskayim is through this avodah that we're learning. No matter what he's going through, even if he sees that he's very guilty in all of his actions, he's done terrible, disgusting things. There's no such thing, even the worst Jew in the world, she'ena kadosh baruch hu gormali machasad neflam, that Hashem hasn't shown his love to. B'chol yom, every day of his life. K'me she'tiknu lo'en lo'mer b'chol yom noidlucha, nesapeti l'secha, every day. B'chol yom noidlucha. Al nisech she'b'chol yom imanu, al nisech she'b'chol yom, eis erev v'lokev tzarayim, morning, afternoon, and night. Should we have to all believe this? There's another second. That Hashem is doing nisim and the flows and toivus. And if you want to look, you will see a lot. If you get asma hatev, and you can remind yourself very well, come a mindless toivus and welcome aleinu. How many wonderful, wonderful things that Hashem Yisbarach has done for us over the years and of our life. Every day, every morning, afternoon, and night. Okay, Mitzvah, we'll finish next week.
Book of us.